B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. It was a disgrace, because that was horrific.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Down Fair Tire Studios, you can give us a call at 617-779-0985. Watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Get involved over there. You can also get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store. It streams the station, podcasts, all the blogs, what have you. And last night, the Patriots lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in a predictable loss. And that is a glimpse of the future. And I warned people. I gave you advice yesterday on how to watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Being a fan of the New York Jets, and when things are going south for them, you know, peeking an eye over the NFC Central and looking at the Lions and how things, you can believe, and there are ebbs and flows in games, and you start to believe that something is going to work out, and ultimately it's not. And that's the way you got to start training yourselves now.
It happened almost, I have to give you credit, it happened almost exactly as you said it was going to. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots were right there. They were there in the third quarter. They were down three, and you're thinking, wow, this defense. Like, they held Mahomes down for long periods of time. They bent, but they didn't break. And then, like you said would happen, things went sideways, and they lost by two touchdowns.
No, they were not going to win that game. No. And, you know, people can say, what if Stidham started the game? Well, he didn't. And then people can say,
if Stidham started the game, he would have thrown four interceptions.
And then, but then what if Cam started the game? These are all great questions, but none of them happened, and that's the mental gymnastics you can play as a football fan of a team that's not going to win every game.
You just have to play perfect football when you play against the Chiefs. I mean, it's one of those things where even like when they were down by three, you know, of course, after that awful ending to the first half, which I'm sure we'll go into. But even then, you're like, dude, these guys can score in like 2 minutes. The Chiefs just are. It's like you see this every time. Teams kind of fool around, and then all of a sudden they go, all right, enough messing around. And then, of course, they end up taking over
the Patriots game. Have done that to how many teams in the last decade? Two
sure.
decades.
Yeah, and I don't think that there was anybody, and if they did, then shame on them, who truly felt last night that they had a shot. Even when it was close, you're like, dude, it's never going to happen. Mm. But, man, just the way that they did it, though, is, I mean,
maddening.
I can't.
Just being disappointed in the sack at the end of the first half means that you think that they could win the game.
No,
no, it wasn't even disappointment. It was like, there it is. There's the screw up.
Well,
we're
okay,
all
well,
for.
That's the attitude. That's what you got to say is that, okay, there's the screw up.
Yeah.
But if you were truly disappointed by the screw up, then you weren't, then you thought there was a possibility of winning the game.
No, no, no. It's more just like, you know what? It was there it is. But it was also pretty astounding that that was the thing. Like, well, a thing that even like a Pop Warner quarterback knew that you can't do.
Well, something was going to happen. I mean, something was going to happen. A lot of things. I mean, and regardless of the way the game played out, they were going to lose. So
for sure.
Something was going to happen at some point that made them lose.
I would have preferred the defense get shredded, which is what I thought was going to happen.
I know.
Instead of Jared Stidham throwing two interceptions, one that bounced off Edelman's hands. He actually threw three, one of which was called back. And I would have preferred Brian Hoyer not do what he did twice. I would have rather the Chiefs run up 550 yards of offense than what happened last
but
time.
But to get upset at Brian Hoyer was to
no,
have
I mean,
the fool's errand.
He is what he is. He's been crap for years.
The fool's
errand of
thinking at some point they were going to win. To go, oh, my God, what's going on? There, right there, you had bought in. Yeah, even a little bit of your subconscious, it was leading you to think tied at the half or maybe it's 10-3, 10-6 at the half. Holy moly, now we're talking. This defense is playing, and that's when you start doing it. And everyone was, via what I read on social media, I couldn't get through all the comments. I got tired, but, I mean, people are starting to get it, but there were still some people that were, you know, everyone, no one was, that I read, but you know, some people
I was
are,
upset. I will,
no,
I
not
will
you.
Admit,
no, I'm talking
I was
about,
upset.
I'm talking about people that went to Ed Fred Tucker on Instagram. But there were some people that, what if, you know, you got it, what if the mistake, well, the mistakes are part of the package. The mistakes are what you're going to get. That's part of the package. That's not having Brady at quarterback. That's part of the package that's going to happen. These well, are the way teams lose games. It's going to take a while for people to get used to it.
Well, the one thing, but the deal is, I mean, it's a completely different game if Cam Newton's in there.
Like, yeah, because they lose in a different fashion.
I don't know, man. I mean, that would have been a really... I mean, the way the defense played, they were in there.
I think the game would have been... Cam Newton as a quarterback, they might have had a chance to win that considering how well the defense played.
Well, it's a different game, though. The game is played differently.
So you're saying that the Chiefs would have been able to be better offensively if Cam Newton was playing?
I'm saying the Chiefs might have done things different offensively if Cam Newton was playing.
I think the Chiefs just do what they do and dare you to stop them. I don't think they would have changed anything.
They ran the ball an awful lot.
Yeah.
But listen, we can... Listen, that's part of it, man.
Well, listen, it's part of the season. Yeah, I mean, this is all going to be weird this entire season, and you're right. Teams are going to go through what the Patriots just went through. That's the part of the equalizer. And you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, that sucks, but that's unfortunately the way things are.
And the way things are going to be.
And you just can't take any – you can't even take a moral victory. Well, I mean, that I disagree with because Cam Newton changes everything. I mean,
Cam Newton's not Tom Brady, so you're going to have to get used to mistakes.
Sure. But Cam Newton's Cam Newton, and Cam Newton is arguably – except you got Josh Allen in there – arguably the best quarterback in this division. So, I mean, that does change things. No, I mean, the way that Allen's been playing
– I think it's not saying anything.
No, I – agreed, but
it is when it comes to making the playoffs.
Yeah, there'll be a wild card team.
With Cam Newton as the quarterback, I believe they could have won last night.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, champ. You believe that.
But I'll tell you one thing that was great was that is more justification last night for my idea of getting rid of Thursday night football and do a Monday night football doubleheader. 7 o'clock Monday night football games, awesome. Love it. Put the East Coast teams on at 7 and then start the West Coast teams or whatever ones you got there at sometime around 9 o'clock. I am A-okay with that. That's
the NFL is going to go like, let's run the programming right up against each other. They're going to love it.
I know. That's the thing. You can't do that unless you do the 7 and 10:15.
Yeah, they're going to say why have a standalone game when we can split networks and have them go up against each other?
Yeah, that's why you'll always have the Thursday because you don't want the overlap.
Well, that's the whole point of the Thursday.
It was necessary last night just because the Patriot game got pushed back. But I don't think so, Rich. I don't think they'll do that.
No. I would much rather have it. I mean,
I would rather have it too, but I don't think the NFL.
They're not going to do it. You think they're not?
Of course not. I'm saying I wish they would do it. Right. mean, okay. You think they're going to get rid of a cash cow on Thursday night? I just think Thursday's too much football.
I liked it being Sunday and Monday, and last night
was so pleasant having a 7 o'clock Monday night football.
That went
game.
Quick. It no was one, over yeah. before 10.
No one likes great. No one likes Thursday night football. Jim, go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering what you guys think the bigger upset was, Trump over COVID or Hoyer over Stidham, or was that the other way around?
I'll tell you, Trump looked real cool.
He looked pretty good.
He looked real
looks like he's beating that
cool.
thing.
Isn't it magic the way he got on the chopper at exactly 6:30 and monopolized the entire news block?
I'd like that's what you took out of it.
That's all I took out of it.
Well, no, what
timing
I took
was
out
great.
Of it is that it was super cool. It looked great.
I love the way he took off his mask and just walked right into the White House, even though he's infected.
That's awesome. You took too much out of
it. The way he just like said, you know what? Everyone working here, everyone around me, F you.
Exactly 6:59 he did that.
It's amazing how that worked. He looked cool. I thought he looked awesome with the flags and everything. He looked triumphant. I was sitting there. I had tears in my eyes. I was saying, wow, you guys.
Did you stand up in front of the TV and salute the TV?
I said, wow, you got sick at once, and then now you're back at work.
I like the way he came back out 10 minutes later and reshot that scene. Did you know that he did that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so after he did that and did the salute, he came out 10 minutes later and redid it.
Mm. Well, you got to be perfect.
You got to make sure it's, you know.
If you're going to look
good
cool.
On the old Twitter. Yeah.
If you're going to look super cool. I was like, oh, what a relief. Oh, boy. Well, you know, when you were tweeting and on TV all the time, I didn't know that you were okay. And now you came out triumphantly. The nation all on pins and needles. So there you go. I mean, what a show of strength. I mean, that worked out perfectly. Whoa, cool dude. Awesome.
He kicked COVID's ass. He's back at work.
Hey, listen, God bless him. Good for him. Getting rid of COVID, but I got to tell you, standing out in front of the helicopter ride, zoom, and then right to the White House, kabang. He looked super cool. I just want to meet people that were like, that was awesome. That was really cool.
I think you just did.
That was real sweet. All right, Rich, we will, I guess, talk about the game.
Yeah, let's get into some of the devils and details here, including one of the better Bill Belichick press conferences that we've had in a while.
He needs a higher chair.
He was over it.
Needs a higher chair, that man. All right, we will be back in just a...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what's the dealio?
Oh, they held up traffic on 93 for that.
Play fake to Burkett. Oh, throw down the middle, shoots all, intercepted. Picked off and running it back to the near side. Left to right, sprinting across the 35-30. Along the sideline, 25-20. And eventually stepping out of bounds for Kansas City. Thornhill, the safety, with his fourth interception.
It's putrid.
In the last 2 years on a high throw by Brian Hoyer.
You know what was weird was that the Sports Hub Twitter account tweeted out a photo of Zolak and Sosi doing the play-by-play from Gillette, but in front of them was a Revs game.
Oh, I thought it was just guys playing soccer, and I swear to God.
Now, did the Revs play last time?
It was just practice or whatever it was. It wasn't a game. Yeah.
They play Wednesday.
Because they play tomorrow.
Because kids are allowed to play in Gillette. Not like pickup games that I'm aware of, but you know, like my son, in the brief time he played soccer, had a soccer game there. So, because they're like, "Hey, drive down to Gillette."
I just saw
it'd be one of 500 soccer games that are going on at the same time.
And Edelman goes out for the pass, and little Johnny, number 7, ends up scoring a goal. So I knew it was going to be a loss.
They were wearing jeans, so I hope it wasn't the revolution.
Oh, were they? I didn't zoom in. I couldn't quite tell.
I just assumed it was dudes playing soccer.
Yeah, it was going to be a loss, but subduing Patrick Holmes for the most part and losing the way they did, just a big kick in the nuts. The Pats fall 26-10 to the Chiefs. Now, it was announced that Brian Hoyer, not Jarrett Stidham, was getting the start. The one reason people kept mentioning was because he's a veteran who wouldn't make dumb mistakes and turn the ball over. That's what you get in Brian Hoyer. And with the defense playing as well as they did, all Brian Hoyer needed to be was a game manager, and he couldn't even do that.
A shot toward the end zone, perhaps. Shotgun snap to Hoyer in the pocket. He looks to the middle. Now he looks left. He's got to get away from Clark. Oh, and Hoyer is sacked back at the 27-yard line.
You don't
and the Patriots, with no timeouts,
this is unbelievable,
come away empty-handed.
You couldn't have more horrendous sequence to end the half as those two.
Oh, yeah. Hoyer does the one thing you can't do. He took the sack, and even worse, he tried to call a timeout afterwards because he apparently had no idea that there were no timeouts left. What a cluster F. I didn't even realize he had done that until they came back after the half, and they zoomed in on him doing the timeout. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me?
See, I saw him do it, and I wasn't convinced that he even thought that they had a timeout. I think he was just kind of, because it was just such a weak... Like, he was just such a weak, like, huh? Like, he kind of was like, what? Maybe? What?
Like, it was just kind of like he didn't know where he was, so he thought he called timeout.
Yeah, it wasn't like an aggressive, like, timeout, timeout. He kind of just looked at the ref like, timeout, maybe? Is there a chance that we have one?
Well, at least he'd get another shot in the second half.
Hoyer waiting on the snap. He takes it. The Chiefs with an extra rusher. Hoyer under pressure. He's hit from behind. The ball is loose, and the Chiefs have it. With a fumble recovery across the 20-yard line, eventually brought down on the play. And another missed opportunity for the Patriots deep in Chiefs territory.
Inexcusable.
Yep. Remember those two words and get used to them. Missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
There because you don't have Brady. Missed opportunity. These are things that will come up again in conversation. Go ahead.
Well, Bill had seen enough. It was Stidham time. Finally, whatever off-season Texas wedding bygones were now bygones. And at first, things looked pretty good.
Real quick, did you see the smile on his face after this play when he was on the bench? I almost took a picture of it and said, you'll never see this again. Go ahead. Play the clip.
Stidham leans in, takes the snap in the pocket, lobs a throw left corner for Harry. Diving catch! Touchdown! Patriots!
There's his first one. What a throw by Stidham to the back pylon to the second-year player, Harry. This is what we've been waiting for. Red zone threat.
Yep. Stiddy, there he is.
By the way,
man of a million off-season think pieces, delivers a strike.
That's right. When I was a lad, the Lions had drafted Chuck Long in the first round out of Iowa.
Quarterback, yeah.
A Rose Bowl quarterback for Iowa, which at the time was a big deal, making the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And I remember the Lions put him in late in the second half, and I got out the Betamax tape, and I put it in, and I taped him, and he threw a nice touchdown pass, and he said, there's Chuck Long. And then if you want to Google Chuck Long, you can look at his NFL stats.
Yeah.
Continue.
Stidham, just real quick about Stidham, how many pro passes has he thrown? I mean, I have to look this up. 20 at this point? Whatever it is, he's thrown at least 4 interceptions. Maybe
they don't
5.
Like him. Let's be honest
for a second. I'm thinking there's a reason now.
They don't like him.
Of course they don't like him.
No, I know.
They put in that jump that you saw in the first half of the game.
I understand
that. How bad do they hate this
they
guy?
They brought Hoyer back for the third quarter after that mistake. What does that tell you?
People were excited that Stidham was in the game.
Oh.
And they don't like him, obviously.
I was excited because it wasn't Brian Hoyer. I just wanted anything. Get him out of there. I don't care who you put in.
Yeah, but then you saw Stidham come in. Then Stidham has a better arm than Hoyer, but he doesn't know where the ball's going.
But at least, here's the thing. At least with Stidham, you understand. You know what Brian Hoyer is. He's never going to be the starting quarterback of this team, ever. Like, he's just a guy who you have and you absolutely need him. You know, this was a pull in case of emergency situation. Mm-hmm. Stidham is a guy they brought in and thought maybe there's potential with this kid. So I couldn't understand why they're wasting so much time with Brian Hoyer
because they don't like
saw
Stidham.
What he is. Well, that's apparent. I mean, that is apparent. Although there's a question to be asked is, you know, if next week Cam's not ready, who you starting?
Well, you got to start Stidham.
You do. You have to start Stidham.
Yeah, you have to start him.
I would think
just on the flyer in the 1% probability that there is a chance that he could come in and serve and show that he could, in a pinch, be a quarterback in the NFL.
Here's the only thing that would make me think that Bill Belichick would do otherwise, is that if he takes a look at how this game rolled out, with it being traveling on the day of game, of the uncertainty and lack of preparation beforehand, that this wasn't a fair shake for Brian Hoyer.
The guy 6 years in the offense. I mean, he is what he is. Stidham should start. I just looked it up, including last night. He's got 17 pro passes. He's thrown 3 interceptions. He had one that got called back last night.
Well,
so it should be 4.
I understand. All right. Speaking of that, let's get to that one because that was a beauty as well.
Snap to Stidham with a play fake. DeWight stands in the pocket, throws it left flat through the hands of Edelman. It's intercepted down the right side, and Matthew's going to walk in high stepping for a touchdown.
Backdoor cover.
Kansas City with officially a pick 6. That one's not on the quarterback.
That is not going to sell a lot of JE11 t-shirts right there.
I rarely, and if you listen to the show and you guys as part of the show, I don't have a general problem with people that do play-by-play or color commentary. I don't really, pay attention to them. Romo's was atrocious last night. After that pick, he drove me insane.
What, talking about Edelman and making excuses for him?
No,
that one?
Not that. I don't even care about the
because that's what drove me crazy.
But it wasn't even the content of what he was saying. It was remember arguing with a woman. And then you're sitting there and you're like, what? I don't know if I should say it. He's saying that. And it's like that feeling in your back when you get tensed up and pissed. He legitimately, not for the radio, not that I normally do that, but legitimately last night gave me that tense back, when you're in an argument with someone you can't stand. He's arguing with my mom. Yeah, I love my mother, but arguing with my mom. Okay, Freddie. Okay, I don't know if I should say it. Okay, shut up. That drove me crazy. If someone can pull that, if we have that. Mike, did we tape the old game of Rooney last night over there?
Be used to it because I didn't quite.
I'm not asking you to. Okay. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on now.
They did tape it.
Okay. So if you can get him after that. And it's quite a chunk of time.
Yeah.
Five minutes. That's one thing I noticed about Romo. About 5 minutes solid after that play was over, all the way through the time everyone went back to the bench and set up for the kickoff. Romo. And the way I interpreted it was, stop making excuses for Edelman. Stop telling us what a great guy he was and what a great career he's had. That was atrocious.
Him spitting out that information took forever. Fine. I don't even care. You guys have to understand, I don't listen to these guys. I don't pay attention to what they're saying. I don't care about predicting the play. I don't care about any of that. Honestly, I can't tell you who's doing the NBA games. I know one of the Van Gundys, or both of the Van Gundys.
The good-looking Jeff, Van Gundy.
Jeff, the bald one. Jeff's the one who's calling it Mark Jackson, Mike Green.
Oh, I thought both of them were.
No. Oh. Well, Stan was doing a different set. They were both in the bubble.
So I know the Van Gundys are there, and Mark Jackson, just his tenor
hand
of voice.
Down, man.
Mama,
down.
There goes that man.
There goes that man.
Yeah, but whatever. So I don't often come on here and comment on the play-by-player color guys. I cannot stand Romo. He is the one person in sport that I cannot stand doing the games. Cannot stand. Now, Jack Buck is a legend. Rest in peace. But Joe Buck has bothered me before when he did the dumb Randy Moss mooting the crowd thing.
He's gotten better. I actually
He
Joe
doesn't.
Buck now.
I don't even care. It doesn't even bother me. None of it. I don't pay attention. Romo is atrocious. Just shut up already. And Nance is a person, I think, as a human being, is a pile of garbage, to my understanding. But at least, like, at least he just goes, blah, 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 here's, you know, handoff, da-da-da. Romo,
I don't know if I should I say it? I'm not going to say it.
By the way, the excuse making for Edelman is insane because that's his – okay, Mike Reese put this out there. He said that that's Edelman's 11th drop since the start of last season, and the second most in that span only has 8 drops. So, I mean, Edelman's got a massive drop problem, and we've seen this week after week, but that one was just as bad as it gets.
Now you start looking at how old he is and how many hits he's taken.
Can I tell you this? Have you seen his – he doesn't want to take hits as much anymore. Did you see he caught a ball in space and
went right to the ground? I did see that.
Went right to the ground. And he could have picked up 4 or 5 more yards.
I did see that, yes. And that's the first thing I thought of when he crumpled up like that. I was like, all right, it's obvious that this is not 2 or 3 years ago. And if the comparison, and we've done this before, the comparison is Wes Welker. And if you look at the ages and the beginning of the decline, when Welker, after playing 6 or 7 years exclusively as a slot receiver, he began to decline at the age of 33 or 34. Well, Edelman is now 34 and entering his 7th year as a full-time slot receiver. He has been a very good receiver, but he has taken a massive beating while doing it.
And he's a tough guy.
Right where, if you compare him to Welker, this is right where you start to go over the backside of the mountain.
I thought Welker hit it a little bit earlier than this. I thought I've been surprised at how long Edelman has lasted.
It's about the same if you take a look.
Is it?
It's about the same.
Anyway, yeah, Edelman's, this is the end. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Freddie, I love you. You are so right. Did you like the commentary about his golf swing during one of the field goals? Like, oh, yeah, hitting it down straight. Then they were talking about somebody's grandfather.
And, oh, yeah, what was that all about?
They're just hanging out. They're just hanging out, shooting the breeze on the broadcast.
Oh, baby. There's a time and place to shoot the old breeze. I'll tell you this. Yeah, there was some weird thing about his grandfather sick and, like, but which is fine, like, if you want to shout out to your sick grandfather. But then it got weird, and he's like, just call the play. Just call the play. Just hand off. Just you say what happened. It just, like, he just, stop. Stop. Why are you bothering me?
The golf game thing was douche.
Oh, but it's fun.
Like, that was Rich, boy.
I'm playing tomorrow, and I'm like, you know, I'm out there duffing it up.
I mean, you know, I was thinking somewhere, you know, up in the sky, you made somebody very happy. And just let her cry. Yeah. Hootie shows up in the sky and gives a thumbs up to Tony Romo.
Yeah, Hootie just floated down and went, yeah.
She made a golf joke. Way to go. And then they high-five each other.
And then Rick Riley's sitting there with his arms crossed with a nod in his head.
Anytime a golf joke is cracked by a national sportscaster, Hootie comes down from the clouds and high fives him, woo-hoo, and then flies right back into the sky.
But guys, you know, hopefully Mother Nature permitting, I get out there and I hit a few tomorrow. But I got to tell you, I mean, Romo, I'm just like you. A-hole. All you got to do is not bother me. How hard is that in this day and age with me sitting there?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I still get Rolling Stone. I haven't paid for it in 85 years. But they had the top 500 album one, and I'm like in my lap, and I'm kind of perusing it because there's a lot of downtime in the NFL. And there's Romo just with a sledgehammer nailing me in the side of the head. Just let me be, boy. Let me be. You got to just sit there talking, don't you? Shut up. Ugh. Not hard not to. During a game, it's not hard for me not to be aggravated. Football to me is just a series of disappointments. Watching it on television, I don't need you. See, I'm spoiled because I get Ian Eagle because he does almost every Jet game.
Ian Eagle. Yeah,
I love Ian Eagle.
Yeah,
and even when he did it with Fouts was just dumb and got everything wrong. But like, who cares? Like, I don't need the color guy telling me anything. I really don't. I don't need him to say anything. I need the play-by-play guy if my attention somehow gets off the game.
See, this brings it back to the genius of Cedric Maxwell, who understands what you're talking about.
He really does.
He knows exactly what you're talking about and will say stuff that isn't necessarily stupid. It's just funny. It's funny and gets you to pay attention.
Yeah, he emotes. So you if you're in the car and kind of zoned out, he'll emote.
And it's a reaction. You're like, what? What? Yeah, what was that?
Exactly.
Max gets it. He's
maybe
always
there's maybe there's a subtle genius to it. All right, so we'll return. We can continue to talk about this game. And if you have any thoughts on Tony Romo, maybe I'm not so crazy. 617-779-0098.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Greg Bredard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriots season. Now, back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Finnum leans forward, waits on the snap. He takes it, backs up five steps, bouncing on his feet. He's pressured. He's hit as he releases deep downfield, and the pass is intercepted. Intended for Bird, picked off by Fenton, who runs it back past the 10, 15, 20. Slats it left at the 25, hit at the 30-yard line, and then he dives to the 34. Bird got behind the coverage.
Oh, he had him.
Cool riff, good band. As soon as Chris Cornell starts singing this song, woof.
I think you and I will agree to disagree.
On Hands All Over?
See, I love his voice on this song.
On Hands All Over?
Yep, on this song. This is Hands All Over, right? This is off of, what's the word?
The album
Ultra
before.
Mega okay?
No. Before that.
Louder Than Love.
Yeah, Louder Than Love. It was the first album I had by then.
It's, man, I loved his voice on that album. And you're right, it is nuts. Like, nothing to say, and I was like, ah! It's way out there, but it fits. It fits on that song.
See, I think Outshined is one of the great rock songs of all time, and the way he juxtaposes his voice, I think, is great on that song.
Yeah, I mean, it is better when he goes back and forth, but yes. That album was a little more aggressive, so I'll give him that.
On Louder Than Love, he just comes right in and starts the spazaruskis right off the bat.
Well, that right there was gross, the way that game ended. Everyone wants Cam back soon. By the way, Hoyer now 0-11 in his last 11 NFL starts. Now, one of the more controversial plays last night was an apparent fumble by Patrick Mahomes where Dietrich Wise was a great play by Dietrich Wise. He knocked the ball loose. Calhoun caught it midair. And then the events that just followed that were a three-ring circus.
Snap to Mahomes. A three-man rush. He drops back in the pocket. He's hit by Winovich. He'll be taken down. The ball's loose. It's caught by Calhoun. Calhoun has it for the Patriots. But Tony Corrente is going to rule Mahomes down as Calhoun carries the football down the left sideline.
You can't roll him down on that.
Jace Winovich had Mahomes wrapped up. The ball popped in the air, caught by Calhoun. Bill Belichick is irate along the far side as Corrente blew the whistle, calling the play down with Mahomes in the grasp of Winovich.
Oh, okay. So, ref Tony Corrente, who historically isn't very good at his job, as you heard, blew the whistle there, ruling Mahomes was being controlled and thus ruled down. But a replay showed that the whistle, and you heard it right there, was blown long after Mahomes had lost the ball.
Yes.
I just
bad call.
But, you know, give Andy Reid all the credit in the world. He knew that there was probably shenanigans, but damn, he got that ball punted in 2 seconds flat. Before you even knew it was going on, all of a sudden the ball was being punted down the field. You're like, well, I guess whatever you wanted to do there, you couldn't do.
Well,
but
it wouldn't have mattered, right? I mean, in the grasp isn't reviewable. You can't challenge that. So even if Belichick had thrown the flag, wouldn't have mattered anyway.
I was still impressed with his ability to get a special teams unit out there.
He got there inside of 5 seconds.
And that was a touchback, too, and Andy Reid did not care. He was like, that was a terrible punt. And he was just like, all right, screw it.
Just get out of here. Right.
Move on.
Just get the next play, whatever it is. Get it out of here.
Yeah, because that was the net on that punt was like 20 yards. But Reid was just like, screw it.
Well, that set up, and it wasn't just that. It was the whole ending of the game and how things went. A fantastic back and forth with the press between Bill Belichick and the people on Zoom. And Bill Belichick rocking the double mask. To me, that's kind of a double Freedom Rockets to the NFL. Oh, you want me to wear a mask? I'm wearing two of them. They'll probably fine them for it. So here is just a little bit of the great back and forth you had between the coach and the press.
Can you, what went into the decision to start Brian Hoyer over Stidham tonight? And did you consider going to Stidham earlier than we did?
Yeah, we did what was best. So that's what we did.
Hey, Bill, on the play just before halftime when Brian took the sack, it looked like he signaled for a timeout after he was taken down. Was there a communication issue there, or do you know what happened there?
No, we're out of timeouts.
Yeah, just it looked like he was signaling for one. So was there a communication error in getting him that?
Nope.
Bill, how much consideration was there at halftime to make the switch that you made late in the third quarter with Stidham going in for Hoyer?
Not a lot. Yeah.
Did you? What was the consideration on possibly throwing a challenge flag there to see if maybe the ball was out?
To call forward progress and he's down, you can't challenge that.
Was it clear on the field that that's what Tony Corrente had called, that it was forward progress?
Yeah, well, ask Tony what he called. I don't know.
But it was clear to you before the Chiefs came out to punt that it was a forward progress call?
I just answered this question.
I feel like I'm asking a different question.
Well, I'm giving you the same answer.
Okay.
You gave him 14 points on three turnovers. What went wrong in that second half?
Yeah, you pretty much said it there.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
See, I don't even think Bill was being a dick there.
Of course. Dude, I just answered your question.
No, I don't even think he was being a dick. His voice wasn't dickish.
Have to agree to disagree on that.
He was being a dick. There were some decent questions that required than two-word answers.
But the answer was that it was forward progress, and you said it, John. You can't challenge it. And so he knew that, so he can't challenge it. And he said he knew he couldn't challenge it. So that's pretty much the answer there. I'm on the side with Bill here. I don't have a problem with the reporters asking the questions. And then when you lead a question with you had three turnovers and, you know, what went wrong in the second half? We had three turnovers. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Bill has been way worse. We're not doing Bill a service here.
Okay.
Bill has been 1,000 times worse.
When they asked about, you know, you had no timeouts left, yet Brian Hoyer tried to call a timeout. Was there a lack of communication? He goes, nope. That to me just says Hoyer's an a-hole and an idiot.
Well, they obviously, I would imagine in his helmet they said there's no timeouts. I would imagine that's pretty standard practice.
You've been in the league for how many years? See, you should know.
No, they have to tell him in his helmet.
Yeah,
all right, again,
you remind him no matter what.
Yeah, no timeouts.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I don't even think, in fairness to Hoyer, that's what you don't do is take a sack. We all know it, and we all saw it. And especially, and you don't even run off that much time off the clock. I mean, even if you don't, I mean,
just throw it in the stands.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Just roll out.
Take an intentional grounding. I don't care.
Yeah,
just get rid of the football.
Yeah,
throw it where no one is. Throw it where, I don't care if there's a receiver within 50 yards of where
you're
going to
get an intentional grounding because I don't think he was out of the hash marks. He just ran. He ran
whatever.
Directly
well,
back.
I don't
so,
care. Throw it over the end zone.
Well, you can't. I mean, whatever. We're all saying the same thing. Just throw it in the ground if you have to. So, and get the intentional grounding. Exactly. I mean, Jesus, you lose less yards than you probably lost on that sack anyway. What were you saying? I had a thought that you interrupted. Go ahead.
My point was that Belichick, and Rich just brought it up when he was talking about Hoyer, there were some dickish responses.
No. Oh, I know what my point is that I don't think Hoyer really thought they had a timeout. That was such a half-assed timeout call. Like, he kind of was just, like, timeout.
Dazed? Yeah, maybe.
Because he didn't spring up going, timeout, timeout, timeout.
Yeah.
He, like, just kind of turned around and looked at the ref like, maybe.
Well, despite the self-inflicted ass kicking, the Patriots actually got some good news yesterday. So according to Adam Schefter, just this morning, tests that the entire Patriots traveling party took yesterday morning before they went to Kansas City came back last night. Everyone on the trip tested negative. That's 3 days after Cam Newton tested positive. So no other Patriot has tested positive so far this week. Now, as far as Cam, there is the slightest of chances that he could be back for Sunday's game against Denver. It's one of those things, don't bet on it, but the math might work out. So the way that it works out is that if he remains asymptomatic, he has to wait 10 days after the initial positive test or 5 days after his positive test, which would be this Wednesday, but then he has to have two negative PCR tests separated by 24 hours. That means on Wednesday he comes in, he takes one, he waits. If it comes back and it's negative, he's got to wait another 24 hours, take it again. And if that's the case, it sounds like by, am I doing the math correctly, Friday afternoon, he would be able to start practicing with the team.
Well, I mean, he's been off since this past Friday, right? And then he would have one practice before.
Wednesday is the day that they can first start testing.
No, what I'm saying is if everything lines up and Newton is able to come back, yeah, I think your math is right too. If Newton is able to come back on Friday, you're asking him to, without being with the team for a full week, walk onto the field on Friday, practice once, there's a walkthrough on Saturday, and then play?
Me and the Saget.
Oh, hell yeah.
Me and the Saget, we do that all the time with the venereal disease.
Yes,
I don't have gonorrhea. The test is here, but bang, 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 bang. No, the test is still good. But
thank you, Jager. Now, when it comes to teams not following
no
COVID
pus,
rules.
No pus, no mas.
No, of course, definitely not. It sounds like the NFL isn't messing around. I don't know if you heard this. So there was a memo that the league sent out and the commissioner or whatever. But
memo
the threat,
to you. You didn't get this for me.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Jager. But
nothing's
the threat of teams
down there.
Well, they might have to forfeit a game if they end up getting found for noncompliance. They wrote, quote,
I wouldn't play him. Why play him? You're going up against Rippon. You just play whoever you want. Put Edelman the quarterback. You're not losing to Denver.
At least he can't, you know, drop balls.
Oh, please. They're not losing to Denver. Please, Denver at home, give me a break. No way. I don't care who you have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback bad enough to lose to Denver. Denver wanted to lose to the Jets.
Oh, I agree. I don't think they do either. I just think that
as much as they were never going to win last night, there's absolutely no way they lose on Sunday. They're winning that game. There might be a. Are they letting fans in? Do we know? Are they going to let a few
not
fans
heard.
In the old Gillette
no,
Light?
Not heard. No, I don't all know. Right. Foxborough is the old hot spot this week or not? You have to check.
It wasn't before.
Yeah.
Maybe they let.
It doesn't matter. Foxborough is the hot spot because people are coming in from all over the place.
So what is it? 65,000? What do you let in? 10?
68 grand.
68 grand.
I think that it's the plan that was floated out there at the beginning of the season was 13,000.
That sounds like a lot of room to me. You let in 13 grand.
I think they would have let everyone know by now if they were going to do it this weekend. They're probably still waiting.
I don't know. I mean, the president had a very cool media event. He beat it.
He didn't really beat it yet.
Well, still that's what you say.
I don't know. President took off his mask walking in the White House. That says clean to me.
It was cool. I don't want to hear anything about it except that how sweet it looked.
Wow. The big thumbs up at 6:59 right at the end of the news.
Those flags flying. It looks sweet.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back. We have the clip of Tony Romo that really pissed me off. We can play that. Also, Mike Lockhart has created something that everyone should hear.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.